fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Let's begin with the big boys. World heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua will defend his WBA, WBO, and IBF titles against Alexander Povetkin of Russia in London on September 22nd. Talk about this fight.
Povetkin is a mandatory contender, number one contender. If you don't fight Povetkin, he will have lost his WBA belt. So a fight with Povetkin guarantees him that he will have his three belts. Going into the Deontay Wilder fight, four belts will be on the table. Good fight. Povetkin fought Klitschko and lost some points. But Sonny, mind you, he's tested positive twice, busted twice for steroid.
Povetkin's only loss to Vladimir Klitschko. Do you give him a chance against AJ?
Well, you will always give a puncher's chance, Sonny, because he can punch, he can bang, you know. And if AJ decides to drop his guard and then go in there and then try to take him out and gets caught with a silly shot, AJ can find himself on the canvas. But it's going to be a good fight because AJ will not have to look for him. Povetkin will be right there in front of him, and we may end up seeing an explosive knockout. But AJ's defense must be 100%.
I saw one of their face-off photos. AJ looks a lot bigger than Povetkin.
Yeah, AJ looks a lot bigger, but Povetkin is solid, Sonny. So Povetkin is rugged, and a rugged guy has got his punch. He's a puncher, so if he can get inside of AJ, get past AJ's jab and stay inside, he may destroy AJ's rib, you know.
The fight is scheduled for Wembley Stadium in London. AJ last fought there in late April 2017 when he defeated Vladimir Klitschko. Another big crowd expected at Wembley, Nnamdi?
Expect a sellout crowd of 90,000 people with millions of eyeballs around the globe watching. So it's a big fight right there, beginning of fall, beautiful weather. It's a heavyweight tango, Sonny, and it's a Russian heavyweight. You know, he will fight. So fight fans know when they come out to Wembley in September, they'll see a real fight, and they will pay to see and expect a sellout.
What about WBC champion Deontay Wilder? Will he eventually fight Anthony Joshua?
I don't think anytime soon. He's been offered $15 million, take it or leave it. He said now he wants a 50-50 split. This is a guy who barely made $2 million in his last fight, and you have $15 million on the table, and you're talking about 50-50 split. In America, we don't even know you that much, you know. So 50-50 split, you have to sit back and watch Tyson Fury take that date at the Wembley Stadium, April 2019, Sonny.
So you think Tyson Fury might fight AJ before Wilder?
That's even a bigger fight, Sonny, bigger fight than Wilder fight. Tyson Fury is going to go into his second fight since his comeback, August 18th. And maybe if he takes one more before the year runs out, say maybe in October, November, Tyson Fury will be ready for Anthony Joshua, Wembley, April 2019, and that's a much more bigger fight. We'll pay to see that fight rather than Wilder in America just talking about 50-50 split.
Nnamdi, let's bring it back to Joshua Povetkin. I understand a new boxing streaming service will be unveiling itself.
Well, Sonny, it's been unveiled. It's called DAZN, The Zone. They're putting down on the table $1 billion for 80 years. This streaming service is on demand, and it's offering live sports and all that. Big in Australia, Switzerland, Japan, and Canada. But here in America, we don't know. You want to tell us to pay you $10, whereas we can get ESPN for $5?
AJ has hooked up with The Zone?
AJ has hooked up with The Zone, and the first big fight for The Zone is the fight September 22 with Povetkin. Personally, for me, Sonny, I think it's a really bad move because boxing fans in America will not shell out that $10 to see AJ against Povetkin. If this fight was on HBO or even Showtime, it would be more eyeballs. In Europe and all the other places, it's a big deal. But to tell American fight fan to put down $10 to see heavyweight from the UK and heavyweight from Russia. Good luck getting that money, Sonny.
Namdi, let's go to Malaysia.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
That's where Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao claims the WBA welterweight title, his first knockout in 9 years against Lucas Matisse of Argentina. Your thoughts?
The question we must ask ourselves is, why is Pac-Man still fighting, Sonny? The fans are getting carried away. Oh, he's got a knockout. He's got a knockout against a limited fighter, a punching bag that quit. That was really no big deal. I mean, Manny Pacquiao, we hope he will have to walk away because he's made more than $200 million. And all this money has been spent through hangers-on and giving away money. He has no reason to keep fighting. He now wants to fight Floyd Mayweather. Cause he knows that if he fights Floyd Mayweather, it's another $150 million. I mean, the young lions in that division, you know, Terence Crawford, Errol Spence, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, these guys will have him for lunch and breakfast. Yeah, it's good to go fight American, which is going to happen in London, maybe in the Wembley or the O2 Arena. It's a huge deal. But when you mess with Terence Crawford or Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman or Potter, you're going to get knocked out and you're going to get back to the Senate quickly.
All right. Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi on Friday's show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. 17 years ago, I made my first trip to Ghana and met Nana Asare, who was then playing for Corners Babies, a youth football club in his birthplace of Kumasi. Nana has since gone on to a 13-year professional career and is currently the captain of the Belgian football club Ghent. Reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori asked Nana to reflect on his youth days and becoming a professional player.
I started when I was around 11 years. I went to Corners Babies, and then from there we played some games, and then we had a tryout with Feyenoord Rotterdam. They loaned me out to Royal Antwerp in Belgium for one season, and then after that season I went to KV Mechelen, also in Belgium, for almost 4 years. There I had a pretty good time there, and I had to move on in 2009 to Utrecht. And also there I had a fantastic time there also for 4 years, and now I'm in Ghent now.
Is it your first term or second term in Ghent?
No, this is my sixth season. It's been a long time, but yeah, I'm enjoying every bit of it, and everything is going on like I want.
Has it been going on smoothly so far as injuries are concerned?
It's part of the game. I think you cannot have 6 years successively. You need to go through some difficulties like ups and downs, and injuries played some roles also. I've had a couple of injuries that took me out for months. But yeah, with determination and with prayers and knowing that you can always do a comeback, that's how it works for me.
How is it playing for Ghent continuously?
It's not an easy job. It's a very tough task to play for Ghent, and also to not just playing but to lead the team. It's been good. It's been magnificent. But at the same time, it has also the tough sides where the team is not performing well and you have to put everything together. But in all round, I think that's how the football works. And I just cope with it and know that, okay, it will always turn around when it's not going good.
What about the players and the technical side? How do they accept you as a captain?
I think they pretty much respect me a lot because it's not easy to play here and also to lead a team as Ghent, because it's a team that always wants to fight for the title. And yeah, to have that responsibility means you really need to be bold and be brave, and you have your own code of ethics and you abide with it, and you also have to be a very hard-working person. And I think, yeah, they really appreciate the work I'm doing. And
last year, you were in the Super Cup. Can you please elaborate on that?
Last year when we met, I think we were still trying to get into the group stages. We have to play some qualification rounds, but yeah, it didn't went so good like we thought. But yeah, it's always tough because your opponents, you don't know them, and it's very tricky. But yeah, at the same time, now we have a chance this year to make it for what happened last year, so we hope to do a better job this time.
Talk about last season's league.
We had a very bad start. Our team was full of new and young players that needed to know our system, and it took quite a lot of time for them to adjust and adapt to it. So it had effect on us. And most of us were also coming back from injuries, so it wasn't easy for the coach also and also for the team, because at one point we were number 15 out of 16 teams, so we needed to fight. And yeah, with God on our side, everything turned around to be good, and yeah, we fought our way back to into the playoff one, and in the lucky shot we had a fourth position.
How strong is your team for this season?
It's just a start. We have a pretty young team now. I think I'm the oldest in the team. So then you can tell that we really have a pretty young team. And so far what I've seen, the team, it's quality with technique. We have it, but yeah, we just need to gear up as a team and stick like a glue. Then we have a pretty much chance to go far. But at the same, we need to also be aware that having a young team doesn't really guarantee that you do well, because they are still young, they need to get experience in the game. That's why a captain is needed, and also some of the old players are also needed to guide them around.
No matter how young they are, I think you have still a confidence for them to push the team to a higher level in the Super Cup.
Yes, I think they know for us to do a very good job, we really need to push ourselves, because yeah, the other teams think they have pretty much of a big chance than we do. But if we can push and with a good mentality and not giving up, I think we can upset the league. My wish is to win the title and also go very far in the Europa League. And also we have Belgium Cup also to go very far. And we all start from zero, so we will see.
So what do you tell your fans?
I think they should just keep believing and hope everything is going to be all right. And for me, I'm always happy and glad. So I think the best gift you can ever give someone is a smile. So they should keep smiling and then keep believing.
Keep smiling and keep believing. That's Ghanaian footballer Nana Asare, the captain of the Belgian club Gent. And Nana was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Ghent, Belgium. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Olympic fans will see more women's events at the next Winter Games in China. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Hey, sports fans. When you watch the Winter Olympics again in about 4 years, you might notice several new competitive events. In fact, the International Olympic Committee has added 7 new events to Beijing 2022, and that will give female athletes a boost in representation compared to this year. A now total of 46 women's events will see over 1,300 female athletes competing in Beijing. However, there will be 41 fewer athletes overall in 2022 compared to this year. On Wednesday, IOC Sports Director Kit McConnell said the committee is aiming to cut costs and improve gender balance at the Olympics.
So we have 7 new events in the Olympic Winter Games, but in every one of those events, we're using existing venues and existing fields of play. So there's no new venues or fields of play needed. All of those events bring something new to the Olympic Games. They bring a new youth focus. They bring mixed events combining both men and women in the same teams in a number of cases. We've increased gender equality from 41% to over 45%, which is really important, and got that overall number of athletes down below the specification in the Olympic Charter for the first time. So for us, it's a really great package which reaches out to young audiences, which continues the innovation, but really reflects our goal of reducing the size of the Olympic Winter Games overall.
The new additions include the one-person bobsled as a women's event, big air freestyle skiing for men and women, and mixed team events in aerial skiing, ski jumping, and short track speed skating. And speaking of the Winter Olympics, I'm sure you remember Korean-American Chloe Kim, who at 17 became the youngest halfpipe snowboarder to win gold in the Olympics. Well, she's 18 now and still living her best life. Wednesday evening, she attended the annual ESPY Awards, a ceremony that honors the most outstanding athletic achievements of the year, voted on by fans. Well, Chloe won three ESPYs: Best Female Action Sports Athlete, Best U.S. Female Olympian, and the biggie, Best Female Athlete of 2018. Chloe, of course, took to Twitter afterwards, cradling her three trophies with the caption, "Three out of three. Thank you guys so much for the votes. I love you all so, so much." One follower responded, "Not only are you the halfpipe queen, you're the ESPYs queen, too." Chloe Kim now joins American alpine skier Lindsey Vonn and American speed skater Bonnie Blair as the only Winter Olympians to win the ESPY Award. And she's only 18. I'm going to go contemplate my life choices, Sonny. Back to you.
All right. Thanks, Gwen. Gwen, I think contemplation now and then is a good thing. We all need to contemplate our life choices. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Forbes magazine has named its most valuable sports teams. And joining us now to break down the numbers is reporter Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, according to the business magazine Forbes, the Dallas Cowboys are the world's most valuable sports team for the third straight year at $4.8 billion. The Cowboys, who are an American-style football team, are followed closely by three top European soccer teams: Manchester United at $4.123 billion, Real Madrid at $4.08 billion, while Barcelona sells the top four with an estimated value of $4.06 billion.
Prince, I understand you've been to Texas. Can you share with us your Dallas Cowboys experience?
I actually visited my uncle back in Texas earlier this year. And the first thing that he did, Sonny, he bought me a Dallas Cowboys jersey, forced me to read the Dallas Cowboys history, took me to the AT&T Stadium, and made sure that I left Texas a Cowboys fan.
They do things big in Texas, Prince. You're a big guy here in the studio.
Yeah.
How would you describe the AT&T Stadium?
Oh, such a piece of work, Sonny. It's an architectural icon. A very big stadium, perfectly befitting the status of Texas, right? Because as they say in Texas, everything is big.
Everything.
Yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, soccer fans in D.C. will really like this. New Juventus signing Cristiano Ronaldo hasn't ruled out playing against his former club, Real Madrid, in a clash slated to take place in Washington, D.C. on August the 4th. The Portuguese striker signed a four-year deal with the Italian champions after spending nearly a decade at the Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid defender Rafael Varane, who became the 11th player to win both the World Cup and Champions League in the same season, is also expected to feature in the preseason friendly match. That's it for now, Sonny. Back to you.
Thank you, Prince. And before I let you go, Prince, I want you to come in next time wearing a 10-gallon hat that they give out in Texas. But what do you make of those preseason tours by these big European clubs? Is it Is it a money grab?
I consider them public relations. I mean, widening their fan base. All right, when the big stars come to the United States, for instance, they come to D.C., they are basically trying to woo the crowd and, you know, expand their economic base, especially when it comes to selling jerseys and stuff like that. But it also works well for the players because they're preparing themselves for the upcoming season, and you need more friendly to just make sure that you're in shape as a player.
And I think you know, Prince, we have more than a few soccer fans here in the Washington area. We have a Major League Soccer club, DC United, just down the street from our VOA headquarters. I think FedEx Field will be packed for that big friendly match.
Absolutely. I'm also hoping to catch the match.
Thank you, Prince. That's reporter Prince Nesta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association news, the big trade this week involved the San Antonio Spurs and the Toronto Raptors. The Spurs sent Kawhi Leonard, their two-time All-Star, as well as a two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, to the Raptors for DeMar DeRozan, a shooting guard who has earned All-Star honors four times. Now, both players didn't seem too thrilled with the trade in its aftermath. However, Greg Popovich, the head coach of the Spurs, addressed reporters and had this to say.
As far as the way the team rounds out, you know, is going to be determined when training camp comes and, you know, after that. So we don't decide and put that in stone ahead of time. But we've got a great group to work with, and we've changed the team before. I mean, you know, every championship that Timmy played on was a little bit different. So this year will be not much different than other years. We had a lot of additions last year. You know, the year after Timmy retired, we won 61 games and went to the conference finals. The team changed. And, you know, last year under tough circumstances, the 47 wins I thought was an excellent effort on the part of the team. And there were a lot of players that hadn't played a whole lot in the past. So, you know, we'll do it again, but we'll have an even more talented crew this year than we had last year.
That's Greg Popovich, the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs basketball club. And Coach Pop sounds pretty optimistic after that big trade. The Spurs acquired DeMar DeRozan, and they sent Kawhi Leonard to Canada to the Raptors, the Toronto Raptors. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see three smiling faces. My face, that of VOA colleague Vincent McCory, and Austin Ocon-Akpan. Austin is head of sports at VOA Partner Channels Television. And I'm looking forward to chatting with Austin later Thursday evening on his Sports Tonight television program. Sports Tonight. But in this case, in the case of that photo, Austin and Vincent are pointing to a Sunny Side of Sports banner. So check it out at my Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. I want to give another shout out for another photo at my Facebook page. It shows those Thai soccer players who were rescued, a dramatic rescue, and they appear to be in good health. The photo was taken by Reuters photographer Soe Zayatun. The Thai soccer players and their coach, they were trapped in a flooded cave, and on Wednesday, they made their first public appearance since that daring rescue, and they look to be in very good health. Great story out of Thailand. And that wraps up the July 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
There is good news for young African women engaged in Africa's energy sector and interested in increasing their leadership skills, strengthening professional networks, gaining new career opportunities, with a desire to take on a greater leadership role. The time is now to apply for Power Africa and the Young African Leaders Initiative's Young Women in Africa Power Leadership Residential Training. Power Africa is a whole-of-government effort to align and mobilize all the tools of the U.S. government to create the conditions for long-term, substantial development in the energy sector in sub-Saharan Africa. This special opportunity is part of the Young African Leaders Initiative, YALI, signature effort to invest in the next generation of African leaders. The YALI Regional Leadership Center Southern Africa, hosted by the University of South Africa at the Graduate School of Business in Midrand, South Africa, will welcome participants in this program. This year, Power Africa joins the Leadership Center in supporting the career development of a new generation of women leaders in the energy sector. The first week will focus on foundational leadership skills, with the following 3 weeks emphasizing effective business and public management in the energy sector. This opportunity will also include site visits and case studies. Applicants must be women, ages 18 to 35. They must demonstrate commitment to positively impact their communities, countries, and the African continent. They must have interest or experience in the energy sector, be nationals of sub-Saharan African countries, be able to commit to a 4-week residential training program, and have English language proficiency. The program encourages applications from rural-based and economically disadvantaged young leaders with disabilities, people who are HIV positive or living with AIDS, individuals that represent and advocate for the rights of LGBTI communities across the region, and other minority groups. There is no fee to apply for or participate in the program. Successful applicants will be provided round-trip transportation to the program, lodging, meals, and course materials. All other costs will be at the participant's expense. The training is residential and requires a commitment to attend all sessions in person at the Regional Leadership Center. To apply, visit the YALI website, https://powerafrica-yali-southernafrica.malimu.com/registration/. The closing date is July 31st, 2018. The United States is proud to work with its African partners to give young African women a chance to advance their careers in Africa's vital energy sector.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Are you about to have a baby? Do you know that malaria is especially risky for expectant mothers and their babies? But there are some steps you can take to help protect yourself and your baby from mosquitoes that carry malaria. Sleep under insecticide-treated bed net. Avoid going out at times when mosquitoes feed, like after sunset or early in the mornings. Eliminate all standing water around your home to prevent mosquitoes from feeding there. Talk to your healthcare provider about preventive treatment available to protect you and your baby from malaria.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.